Welcome back to the Traffic Jam. I'm Afterburner Al, along with Weasel. It's been a while since we've hosted this particular show, just because it's always sandwiched in between the afternoon air show and our evening program. Coming up at 7 will be Theater in the Woods. But we have a few minutes to talk about, we'll be on tomorrow as well, but we'll have a few minutes to talk about some of the things we've seen around the area at AirVenture this week. And also, we're going to do a special Traffic Jam. We'll be on the stand Sunday morning from 10 to noon, I believe. And so we'll be grading takeoffs.
Yes, normally we grade landings, but Sunday afternoon is the great exodus at the end of the show. So yeah, we'll be grading takeoffs. That'll be fun.
And one of the things we haven't talked about, you and I, on the air quite a bit, is something that happened 20 years ago. So we brought in Mike Morgan to help us with that discussion. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Afterburner Al. Is that how we're doing this?
Afterburner? Yeah, we can do that.
Okay. Hey, Al. Hey, Weasel. I listened to that intro to your show. I did that when I was about, I don't know, young. 40-something, I guess.
Right, yes.
When I started volunteering with EAA Radio. So kind of threw me back to the past, which is exactly why you brought me here today.
Yeah, the past is correct.
So it is just under 7 weeks away that we will all be observing the 20th year since 9/11 happened. Now, I happen to know through volunteering with this organization that you guys, the two of you, were college roommates. The two of you have had very parallel careers for a number of aviation companies. Certainly, you both have volunteered in very meaningful ways for EAA and EAA Radio. What I bet a lot of people don't know is that you comprised the flight crew of a single passenger-carrying aircraft the morning of 9/11. So you were together when 9/11 happened. So I'm going to channel David Hartman here as he takes people through the interesting stories that they've experienced and ask you to take us back to that particular morning and describe how you sort of went through what you went through before you learned that this was happening.
Well, we started really early. I think it was a 4 or 5 a.m. show, and we did a deadhead leg to go pick up passengers. And then we were flying from
Manitowoc
yeah. over out east, and as we were going along, it was a charter yep. flight. We were in a King Air 200, and the morning started off like every other trip that we had done. We were up at altitude, we were out over Lake Erie, and the first inkling that something was amiss was we heard a very garbled message on Cleveland Center frequency that an airplane had a bomb on board, and so we're like, well, that is somewhat unusual, and yeah. we had to, probably an off-color conversation about that. And
yeah. Well, at that point, what did you think was? Did you think it was legitimate, or do you think somebody was just messing around?
Well, it was one of those things that people, you know, even back then, people didn't. You didn't. If you said the B word, it was not. And on a center frequency, it was kind of odd. And the Cleveland Center controller started getting us all off the frequency, and they were. Working in 993, and that's one of the things that stands out the most when we talk about 9/11.
Yeah, hold on a second, because you know this is our 20 years of remembering stuff. They actually started asking us where we were headed over Lower Michigan. It started even earlier than that, and then because that started busying me with stuff, I think that's when you heard some of those communications.
Yeah, because they came on board and they said something about they're going to need runway requirements from everybody and all that, and so he was looking for an alternate and. But I remember the Cleveland Center controller, when they lost comms with United 93, they kept going, United 93 Cleveland, United 93 Cleveland, and they're just going on and on. And they got us onto a discrete frequency because the controller that was working in 93, they just got him on that one frequency, and the airplane was unresponsive. And I remember they ran, I think it was a NetJets airplane, it was a Citation mm-hmm. 10 up to get a look at him to see if they could, you know, did they lose a window, yeah. did they, you know, because we really didn't know, and no one did at that time, you know, what the situation was. And as we continued east, it, you know, the dynamic kind of changed. And I remember the
now United 93 is the one that went down in Shanksville,
right? Yeah. Pennsylvania. Okay. Yes.
So the first you knew was actually the third aircraft that was in danger, right?
Correct.
Right. Okay. And one of the things we thought about when we kept hearing the repeated United 93, we're like, well, those guys are in trouble. They can't even, you know, answer the radio, kind of thing. Is like, whoa, those guys.
Did you conclude that the radio transmission about the bomb was probably that aircraft, or did you think of them as isolated incidents?
Well,
or unrelated, I mean.
No, I think we kind of thought something was that, because the and I forget the exact wording, but it was like, ladies and gentlemen, we have a bomb on board. And so it sounded like it was a, you know, like it sounded like a PA announcement that they had inadvertently run it over, you know, over center frequency. Not that that ever happens.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, well, that, and then when the airplane was unresponsive, they said, okay, we got a situation here. And you know, the weather was perfect. And I remember, like, the controller started keying the mic to make transmissions, and it sounded like there was a, like a cocktail party going on in the background. There was all kinds of, you know, like when you call your friend and they're at some party and there's all that background noise, that's what it sounded like in the center. There was just all kinds of people talking in the background, and that was a clue that something was going on.
So somebody was keying the mic, but there was nobody on mic.
No, they were talking, but like it would be like if I'm talking here and if we were trying to do this show instead of in a studio,
yeah.
Like down at the, you know, at the flight line with all those people talking in the background.
How many times have you talked to someone and they yell at their kids in the background while they're on the phone with you?
Yeah, right.
It's similar to that.
Okay.
And as we went eastbound, we were talking to Cleveland Center, and I remember the Cleveland controller, you could tell the tone of their voice. They were extremely professional, but you could tell that they were becoming task saturated with all of the papers being put in front of them and all this kind of stuff. And we got to the border between Cleveland Center and New York Center, and all the airplanes that were getting handoffs were coming back, and they were like, hey, we can't get a hold of New York. And I remember the controller said it was like the understatement of the century was, there's something going on in New York. Be patient with them. That's a good frequency. Just hang on. And then the next thing they came up with was the couple of guys were like, well, we're going to go. We'd like to go to 17.5 and cancel IFR. And I said, I can't let you do that. Just stand by. And I'm like, well, that was kind of the first clue that we had that things have, it was more than just this one airplane that was having an issue, that something was going on. And
What led you to want to cancel IFR at that point? Were you just thinking ahead, trying to be flexible?
Yeah, it wasn't us canceling. We were still at altitude, but some of the other, you know, like corporate charter airplanes, they were just going to go to 17.5, cancel IFR, because the controllers were clearly overwhelmed with whatever the situation was.
Yeah, okay.
And so they were going to jump off and just go VFR and ease the controller's burden.
Let me add in at that point, this is about the same time that I remember asking, they kept coming back and asking, where are you going? Where are you going? And every controller asked where we're headed. And when we tell them, York, Pennsylvania, that's where we're going, which is about 30 miles away from, it's
right
west of Lancaster, PA, and it's 30 miles away from Gettysburg and also Camp David as well. So
sure.
They kept asking us, but one of the things is, okay, and one time the controller comes back and says, well, New York may not be able to take your hand off. There's some kind of delay. And I said, you know, because we always like, well, what's the nature of the delay? And that's when the controller had it, and he said, someone flew a couple of planes into the World Trade Centers. They think it's a terrorist attack.
Well, before they said it was a terrorist attack, there was, he said, somebody flew an airplane into the World Trade Center, and an airliner keyed the mic, and the guy recognized his voice, and he said, what did the banner say? And he said, it wasn't a banner. We think it was your company. And then they came up with the thing about lock your cockpit. I went, holy smokes. And then they, we finally got on with New York.
Wait, parse that a minute.
Okay.
But what did the banner say? We think it was your company.
Well, they thought it was a banner. They said somebody flew an airplane into the World Trade Center, and the guy said, oh, what did the banner say? And thinking it was a banner tow airplane, they said, it wasn't a banner tow. We think it was your company.
Got it.
And we're like, what? You know, because that was my first thought when they said an airplane hit the World Trade Center. We were thinking, you know, like a banner tower or a sightseeing kind of thing. You know, somebody that's down in that low altitude.
Yeah, there's no way that an airliner is going to be down there.
Well, isn't that the way this whole thing happened? There was a failure of imagination on so many levels.
Oh, sure.
Could not imagine.
The other thing that kind of stands out was when we handed off from Cleveland to New York, there was a definite difference in the tension in their voice. The New York controller was clearly operating at a higher stress level, but extremely, extremely professional. They and they came up with when they finally decided that they were going to shut the airspace down, we were into New York Center's airspace, he said, all right, if you've been in the air less than 30 minutes, I want you to turn around and go back where you started from. If you're within 30 minutes of your destination, you're cleared direct. The rest of you, I need runway requirements and fuel on board. We need to get you all on the ground. And he and I looked at each other, and I looked down at the GPS, and it showed we were 29 minutes from there, so we just hit direct enter. And so when they called, he was going through this list of call signs that he had, that they were working that frequency, and he just went down, you know, he's like, all right, you know, our call sign, and we're going direct Thomasville, and okay, and we went direct to the airport, and then we got handed off to Harrisburg Approach, and the controller kind of had a moment to for a breath, and he said, "You guys got ready to copy. I have some information for you." And so they gave us a statement to read, and I saved it. I just found it when I moved last year, so I found all this like these buried treasures in my house when I moved. But it was the handwritten note that said something to the effect of, "For reasons of national security, all aircraft are instructed to land immediately. The U.S. National Airspace System is shutting down. Anyone has any questions, contact the nearest air traffic facility." So we got handed off to the Thomasville's an uncontrolled airport. We got handed off to Unicom York Thomas THR is the airport.
I see, yeah.
So we got handed off, and he read it on the right off the script that so he went in right afterburner Al voice for reason and we landed.
How many passengers?
I don't know.
Four.
Where's the picture?
Okay. Yeah, if you go to the EA Radio Facebook page, we actually posted a picture of all of us, the four passengers and us, on 2 days later on Thursday, September 13th, just before we were able to leave. And one thing I'll interject about the passengers right now, they were being sent out to this factory in the York area to give out severance packages to a bunch of employees that they were going to lay off. And it was like, they were going to be there 3 hours. So they were going out for a 3-hour tour, but it turned out to be a little bit more than that. Wow. So you can talk about what happened on the ground in just a moment, but right now you're listening to EAA Radio.